Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. My name is Jackie Renzetti, and you're listening to The Real College Podcast. This week, we're reflecting on what it means to be a student, someone who is swamped with work, trying to find time for themselves, and saving pennies wherever they can. We'll be hearing from two of our accomplished past reporters as we rerun two stories from September 2014. Zoe Peterson reads up on the rising prices of college textbooks, and Katie Boland finds out how to care for a pet on a budget.
I heard about being young, but I'm not sure how it's done. Thought I heard mumble something about fall.
As I'm sure you're all aware, college tuition has skyrocketed over the decades. And in 2012, the think tank American Enterprise Institute reported that the cost of college textbooks has increased by 812% since 1978. Up next, Zoe Peterson looks at how this increase affects students here at the University of Minnesota. The story was originally produced in September 2014.
Summer is over. In less than 48 hours, we return to the bittersweet regimentation that is school. As part of getting ready for class, many of us have to muster up the strength to deal with the sticker shock of our textbooks, the required reading that, according to the American Enterprise Institute, is rising in price faster than tuition, healthcare, housing, and inflation.
You have to, wonder why college textbook prices are going up, and it can't be that the cost of publishing is going up because we see that the recreational book prices are actually falling.
That's Mark Perry, professor of economics at the University of Michigan, Flint, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and creator of the Carpe Diem blog. He offered a few possible answers to his own question.
One theory is that there's been a lot of consolidation in the industry, and so whereas there in the past might have been 15 or 20 publishers competing for that big market, now there's only three or four.
Beyond that, he says that the textbook market doesn't operate by standard market principles in the sense that there's no competition. Once a professor assigns a textbook, there's no alternatives. And with publishers printing new editions with minor changes every couple of years, the resale value of textbooks is lost. Despite the Higher Education Opportunity Act of 2008 that requires publishers to disclose the price of textbooks to professors when marketing their product, Professor Perry says that most instructors have no idea how much required materials will cost their students.
And it's often the case that professors are insulated from the cost of the book to the students because as professors, we deal with the textbook representatives and not necessarily really the bookstore. So when we're selecting a book or getting information on a new edition of a book, usually the price is never discussed.
Public Interest Research Group put out a report early this year analyzing how students have reacted to the ultra-expensive textbook norm. There were three major findings. First, the high cost of textbooks can deter students from buying required materials, as it did with recent University of Minnesota graduate Robert Andrade.
Sometimes you'd have to make decisions on what books that you wouldn't buy, something you'd like maybe have to rent them from the library or borrow them or just not read them if, you couldn't make it work.
Were you worried that it would affect your grades?
Yeah, but you gotta do what you gotta do, right?
The PIRG report also found that the rising cost of textbooks affected how many or which courses a student took, and that 82% of the students surveyed felt that they would do better in a course if there were a textbook available for free online. Irene Duranzik is an associate professor at the University of Minnesota's College of Education and Human Development. She's one of the many faculty members spearheading the U of M's Open Textbook Library, a free textbook library available to the public. She's been using open source textbooks for the past several semesters in her statistics class.
As far as student accessibility, it was great because many students at the beginning of the semester are either waiting for a check from home, for their financial aid to come through, or their first paycheck to come, and they put a priority list of what they need to get and what they could wait for, and oftentimes textbooks get put down the list.
So we have to wonder, did offering a free alternative yield better results in her class?
No, I think it took away excuses, but I didn't notice any real difference in grades, no. I noticed students were happier and didn't have some of the fretting that they have when they don't have access to materials.
So here's what Robert Andrade suggests.
You can get an older copy, you can go to the library, or you can look online, hopefully for PDFs. Probably about a quarter of the time you'd be able to find something online.
Hi there, this is Matthew Curtis from Radio K, and you're listening to the Word on the Street on the Real College Podcast, a taste of the events that you need to be at in the Twin Cities. Monday, March 28th brings Seattle-based hip-hop artist Soul to the Twin Cities, live at the 7th Street Entry. After a few years of touring, producing, and receiving critical praise, the Headspace Tour will feature music from Soul's upcoming 2016 album, as well as performances from Brothers from Another and on Tino Terry. Here is Soul's track, Ain't Gon' Stop.
You got me feeling so high, yeah. I could pop all night, yeah. And it ain't gon' stop, nah. No, it ain't gon' stop, nah. So the moon was high, the music was live. I was holding on your booty, looking you in the eye. You said, do you wanna ride? I said, do I wanna fly? Hell yeah. I've been dreaming about the sky my whole life, with a girl on my arm and a blunt on my lip, bumping my music up in heaven and they loving my shit. Biggie Pac in the fifth, me and Bob on a split. I could die the day I know that Dilla's bobbing his head. So I worked all night, and I worked so hard, I might lose my mind, but I ain't gon' stop until I get my. No, I ain't gon' stop till I get my shine. Won't stop till I get my. Said I ain't gon' stop.
Leaf, the New York City-based hip-hop artist, released his debut album Riot Boy on November 13, 2015 via Terrible Records. The album features guest vocals and production from a wide array of artists, and definitely one to check out. We at Radio K have been fans of Lee since the beginning, and it's our pleasure to sponsor his upcoming show Thursday at the 7th Street Entry. Tickets are still available, and this is his new single, Koi.
Me shake that ass like a calabash. I see it in his eyes, he can't handle that. Thinking I'm the prize in his cracker jacks. Look at him look like candle wax. He spoke to me at the bar, he said that he liked my hair. Didn't wanna be rude, he was trying so hard. So I'm like, whatever, sure, we can do these shots, why not? I'ma let you buy me these drinks, lots. He's asking me where I live, I'm like, far away, Mr. Real, real far. I don't got time for that hullabaloo. I'm not laughing with you, I'm laughing at you. You should go back over there with your crew. When he's on now, man, what we gon' do? You wanna dance, but ain't got no rhythm. Tell me how with this transition to kissing. He's all smitten to the plot, niggas, now I read my lips. Listen, I'm sweet, but I'm deadly, just like Coca-Cola. I'm hotter than a hot spring, hotter than Bikram yoga. We come try your luck for leaf clover. If you ain't got no swag, then this conversation's over. You wanna get to know me, wanna be my homie. I just came to party, not here for you, boy. You should watch what you're saying, cause your mouth is crazy. Got me out to shady and feeling real cool.
You're trying so hard, I'm
gonna
be the show.
Saturday, April 2nd features Nova Scotian four-piece Nap Eyes and veteran Irish guitarist Kian Nugent in a double-bill show at the 7th Street Entry. If you want any more reason to go, Minneapolis All-Stars Rupert Angel Eyes will be supporting, and it's a Radio K-sponsored show. Here's a track from Nap Eyes' record, Trust.
Trust me, I got some things I need to tell you anyway. Sometimes I can hardly believe the way you don't believe what I say. Here. Somebody look at me. Do I have a glass eyelid? Do I have a glass forehead? Can you see through it? You know, sometimes it gets so hard.
Now for a full taste of what's to come on Saturday, here is Kian Nugent's track, First Run. That's it for The Word on the Street. My name is Matthew Kudas, and thanks for listening to The Real College Podcast on Radio K.
Picket fence. Perhaps parts of the American dream have changed since the 1950s, but owning a dog hasn't. But sometimes, pet owners don't have the funds to cover the high costs that come with a pet. Up next, producer Katie Bullen explores two resources for Minnesota pet owners in need.
Routine veterinary care, cat litter, toys, beds. If a pet gets injured or gets sick, that can be a very large expense, an unexpected expense for the owner.
That's Dr. Kim Culbertson.
People want to acquire pets for the companionship, and we all do, but they don't realize the ongoing costs associated with keeping a pet.
She's a veterinarian in the Twin Cities. MinSnap provides low-cost spay and neuter surgeries for dogs, cats, and rabbits, but not just anyone can use their services.
Our services are available to people who qualify financially. They either have to demonstrate that they're receiving some type of state or federal public assistance, or they have to have a total annual household income of $40,000 or less.
The MinSnap program runs from two locations. One is in North Minneapolis, and the other is a mobile clinic.
The average number of surgeries we perform a day is about 30, both on our mobile clinic and here at our stationary clinic.
Although relieving the cost burden of a spay or neuter for pet owners is part of MinSnap's work, it's not the main goal of the program.
Spay-neuter can be expensive and it can be reasonable too. It depends on the part of the state you live in and the clinic you choose to go to. But the reason that we provide it at such a reduced subsidized cost is to reduce pet overpopulation from unwanted litters. There's an estimated 3 to 4 million cats and dogs and rabbits that get euthanized in shelters every year.
Kim says it's estimated that there are about 90,000 euthanized pets a year right here in Minnesota.
Those are pets that just don't have homes, and there's not enough homes for all the pets that are born. I think there's an estimate that for every one person born in the United States, there's 15 animals, cats and dogs, born. When they enter shelters and they don't find homes, they have to get put down to make room for more animals to come in. The shelters are overwhelmed, rescue organizations are overwhelmed, so we decided to help by preventing those litters from being born.
Although MnSNAP's primary goal is to relieve the local pet kingdom of its vast overpopulation, there are also a limited number of benefits for its low-income customers.
If it's a minor health condition, we can treat it here. If it's more serious, we notify the owner and recommend that they seek veterinary care at a private practice.
So what do you do when you have a four-legged family member with a serious medical condition, but don't have the means to pay for expensive veterinary care? Well, in 2014, that means you turn to the internet.
Man, crowdfunding, how cool is that?
That's Alex Biggis. We went to high school together. For the past month and a half, he has been promoting his Indiegogo campaign to raise money for his rescue dog, Allie. She is 5 years old and needs a costly cataract surgery so she can see the world for the very first time.
For a family that's just starting out, you know, shelling out almost $3,000 over just a few months is not something that we could responsibly decide to do.
His campaign has been shared over 260 times on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. With the help of family, friends, strangers, and a steady flow of social media updates, his goal of raising $2,700 was met in 45 days. Alex says this type of funding could be crucial for families in similar situations who want to help their pets' immediate medical needs but don't have the funds to do so.
Crowdfunding kind of reconstructs that whole debate. So it's no longer an issue of, is it worth $2,700 for this procedure, which involves a huge amount of risk for one family? It becomes, is this worth, you know, $10 to $20 to 100 plus people to help it become a reality? So it changes the game.
As a relatively recent phenomenon, crowdfunding has proven an option for many people like Alex looking to raise money for expensive vet costs. However, to run a successful campaign, a person must have a large enough network of people who have access to the internet and the ability to donate money. Dr. Kim Culbertson says more still needs to be done to help out pets of families who can't afford the high costs of going to the vet.
I would like to see more affordable and accessible veterinary resources for a low-income community, whether it be surgery or just basic medical and preventive care. We're in a depression, I should say we're in a recession. Even though we're coming out of it, it's still hard for people to be able to afford good care for their pets. And like you said before, pets are part of the family and we want to make sure we can take care of them.
If you would like to donate to MnSNAP, please visit mnsnap.org.
That concludes this week's Real College Podcast. Thank you to Zoe Peterson, Katie Bolin, and Matt Curtis for contributing to this week's show. Our producers are Max Fuller, Patrick Sharkey, Matt Curtis, and David Lean. And you can find us online at RadioK.org, iTunes, and on Sundays at 6 p.m. on Radio K. To play us out is our weekly release spotlight, Eraser Stargazer, the fourth LP from the Boston-based band Gorilla Toss. To read a review of the album and download a free track, head to RadioK.org. This track is Eraser Stargazer Forever. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and thank you for listening.